Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. And of course, you can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. We appreciate those a ton. And of course, check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships as well. Shout out to brand new members, Martin Raffalo, Mark, Blippi Fan, Kirk Curry, Zentriatas, and New York Cheesehead. I appreciate you guys for signing up. Thank you so much for that. And again, a lot of awesome stuff out there. We had three bonus episodes from Ross Uglum just yesterday. We've got a bonus episode with Aaron Nagler and I out there. So there's a ton of really cool stuff. Plus you get access to videos early. So that's always worth it as well. Oh, and the weekly Q&A for members only. So make sure to check those out. Also, I would be remiss if I did not tell you about Autograph. Just recorded an episode, actually recorded two episodes this week, but my most recent one was breaking down three of the huge keys to Packers Cardinals. So if you want to check that out, which you're going to want to, go over to Autograph, download the app, and of course you can get exclusive content there. And it is a one-stop shop for all things Green Bay Packers. You get all the best articles, all the best podcasts, which is very Pack-A-Day podcast heavy, which we appreciate a ton. And again, exclusive content from myself and other Packers content creators as well. So make sure to check out the Autograph app, download it, and use code Pack-A-Day when doing so. It is 1 million percent free, so you don't have to worry about anything there. All right, transactions from Friday. Both of these were known slash expected. Luke Musgrave does go to IR. He will be out for four games, not 4 weeks because Green Bay does have that bye week, but he will be out for four games. And then John Fitzpatrick was officially added to the active roster. Remember, he was on the Falcons practice squad. He is on the team. Matt LaFleur was asked about him on Friday, asked if he could play any sort of part. He said that would probably be pretty difficult considering he just got here. He said there is some terminology from Atlanta's offense that carries over, but I would expect that Fitzpatrick is probably inactive for this game. Maybe it's in a special teams role, depending on injuries and just numbers, they may not need some other player. So it could be that he's just active by default. But if it's from an offensive role, I would expect maybe Andrew Beck to get activated again in this one, but we'll have to wait and see. You never quite know how Green Bay is going to go about that. I just want to interject here actually for just a second on the tight end position. I know Luke Musgrave's on IR. That's a bummer. They bring in Fitzpatrick. It's probably going to be a few weeks before he can make any sort of offensive impact in any real way. I am a huge Ben Sims believer. Now, I'm not saying that Ben Sims is going to become some tight end one or that he's going to be tearing up the league or anything like that. This is not apples to apples when I said, watch out for Tucker Kraft. He's going to be the breakout player. Nothing like that. Nothing remotely like that. But do I think Ben Sims can be a very good number two tight end in this league? Absolutely. I really think he can. And I think he's only scratched the surface. I don't think we've even really scratched the surface with Ben Sims and what he can do from a receiving standpoint. I think there is a lot of untapped potential there. And then he is a very solid blocker. So I really like Ben Sims as a tight end too. I think he is one of those well-rounded tight ends that you can block with him and he can give you a little run after the catch and a little receiving chop. So I like this ability for Ben Sims to come in, run this offense as the number two tight end and not really, have to worry about, oh my goodness, Musgrave is out. How are they going to serve? No, Ben Sims is going to be just fine in that tight end two role. Injury report. Let's start with the Cardinals. Out is going to be Zay Jones and Darius Robinson, their first round pick. And then questionable, Garrett Williams, Matt Prater, Christian Jones, and Kelvin Beachum. We'll see if any of them are actually questionable. Garrett Williams is one of their starting nickel corners. Matt Prater, of course, is their kicker. And Kelvin Beachum is their starting right tackle. So those will be worth keeping an eye on come inactives on Sunday. But it seems like they're all probably trending to play. But again, worth keeping an eye on nonetheless. From a Packers standpoint, we know that Luke Musgrave is now out because he's on IR, right? So he's no longer on the injury report, but he's out because he's on IR. Devontae Wyatt is out for this game. He will not play. Questionable are Christian Watson, Rasheed Walker, Aaron Mosby, Jordan Morgan, and Jair Alexander. We'll break those down more in just a moment. Also, Jonathan Ford, it should be noted, was a full participant in practice on Friday. Now, His 3-week window is still open. They have another week. This is the second week of the 3-week window. They don't have to activate him. They could activate him. Now, if they activate him off of IR, they would need to make a corresponding roster move. So that makes it a little bit interesting as to what they will potentially do. My guess is that Ford waits another week, and because they don't have the need right now to put him on the roster and probably don't have an open roster spot at the moment, my guess is Ford just waits till next week and they see if there's an injury that opens up a roster spot. And then they would have to make that decision of, you know, do they just release him within, you know, off of IR, you know, basically they don't have a spot for him, and now that he's healthy to go, or do they make a spot for him and release somebody else from the roster? My guess is that happens next week, but it does seem like he was a full participant and he could go if they want him to. That is an interesting one that we'll have to keep an eye on Saturday when they make the remainder of their transactions and roster call-ups and things like that. Now, as far as those injuries go, there are three players, Jair Alexander, Jordan Morgan, and Christian Watson, who practiced all 3 days, but were limited all 3 days. Now, Jair said it was a good possibility that he was going to play this week. I sort of expect him to. Jordan Morgan, Christian Watson, a little bit tougher to tell. You can tell they're being cautious with Morgan. Interestingly enough, that Adam Stenovich said in his presser this week that once Jordan Morgan is back from injury, their plan is to insert him back in the lineup. Now, it's probably in that rotation again with Sean Ryan, but this isn't a situation where he's just going to sit on the bench and be that sixth offensive lineman. They want to get him in the game. What I find slightly interesting about that is the fact that it seems they've already had that conversation. Now, maybe that's nothing, maybe that's something, but if they're having that conversation, it would maybe lend itself to believe that they are having that conversation about this week and that they want to get him on the field. So that would be my guess, is that he's back and back in the rotation, but we'll have to wait and see. It also could be where maybe he's active this week, but they don't want to, you know, quite put him in the game yet, where he's available off the bench, but they're not going to use him right away. And maybe it's next week that he gets back in that rotation. We'll have to see. But first things first, can he get active on Sunday? Again, Christian Watson and Jair Alexander were the other two that were limited all 3 days. Again, Jair seems like he's going. Morgan will wait and see. And I guess Watson will have to kind of wait and see as well. But the fact that they practiced all 3 days is a very good sign. Aaron Mosby is questionable, but he was a full participant all 3 days. So an interesting questionable. Usually if you're a full participant for the entire week, you're just good to go. I don't know if something flared up or whatever, but he is listed as questionable. Not a big issue there. You can either just have only four defensive ends active, or you could put Brenton Cox as active on game days. I know Mark Eckel was calling for that over on Packer Report, but either way, it's not a huge issue one way or the other, but he did practice in full all week long. And then the big one, the interesting, not necessarily the biggest one, because you've got Jair out there, Christian Watson out there, but Rashid Walker popped up on the injury report on Friday, and he had no injury listed the first 2 days of practice, Wednesday and Thursday, but was limited on Friday. My guess is he'll be able to go, but when you get these late week injuries, you're never quite sure. Sometimes it's like nothing and they play and they're completely almost fine. And other times it's like, oh, it was actually more serious, but they didn't want to, you know, announce it maybe as such. We'll see. I'm hopeful that Walker will be able to go, but I think when it comes down to the inactives on Sunday, Jair Alexander, Christian Watson, Rashid Walker, and Jordan Morgan are really going to be the four to kind of keep an eye on to see if they actually play. Now, the good news is Matt LaFleur confirmed that Tucker Kraft would play in this game. And he was not listed on the injury report and with any sort of designation or questionable or anything like that. So he's good to go. He was also asked if Romeo Doubs will play in this game. And it was, yeah, it was just a simple yes. Now, let's hopefully address this Romeo Doubs situation for maybe the last time. I guess we're probably going to talk about it a little bit on Monday after the game, just because we'll see like what actually happened in the game. Was he targeted more? Was he targeted less? Was he the number one snap getter like he was prior to the suspension? Did he have to earn his way back up? We'll see on Sunday. So it's not fully to rest yet, but just him speaking to the media. I'll be totally honest. I know he talked about his mental health, which that is first and foremost, right? Like him getting that good to go and everything like that. That's what's most important. Just him talking about it and sort of getting this piece of it done, to me, was such a massive step. And he said he spoke to the team, which is another massive step. So he spoke to the team. He's now spoke to the media. He's going to play on Sunday. This is trending towards, we're going to be able to put this behind us. everyone, meaning Romeo, the team, the fans, to whatever extent that matters, hopefully the media as well. Like, hopefully this is just kind of going to move on. That's the hope, right? I was on the Bill Michaels show on Friday, and he asked me about this, of like, you know, how the media is handling this. And like, some people are upset that the media are asking him questions and that we're talking about it or whatever. I said flat out, I'm not in the locker room asking those questions. But what I will say is, just personally, the last thing I want to talk about is the Romeo Doubs off field situation or anything like that, right? I would rather be talking to you about John Fitzpatrick or a million other things. I don't get my joy out of talking about, ooh, let's talk about Romeo Doubs and his troubles that he's, that's the last thing I want to talk about. But it's an important story, and how this it gets handled will be very relevant to what happens with Romeo Doubs. If like it goes incredibly bad, could he get traded? What could Green Bay get in return? Or what happens next offseason? Or when he's a free agent into like a year and a half? Like, all of those things sort of matter, and I'm always looking ahead towards those things. So it's worth noting and discussing for a variety of different reasons. Not to mention, again, how does Green Bay manage that on Sunday? Does Jordan feel like he has to throw the ball more to him? All of those things are very interesting when it comes to Romeo Doubs. But number A is his mental health, and hopefully that gets, you know, sorted out to whatever extent that he needs to. He's not somebody that regularly feels comfortable in front of a bunch of cameras, it doesn't feel like, but he was seemingly very uncomfortable in the questions that were asked. I know some people were upset with the questions that were asked, or how they were asked, or that they were repeated. Listen, these are no-win situations for anyone, right? And I do think in general, I'm not talking about Packers media or media. I'm just talking about humanity. I think everyone could use a little bit more empathy in this world. So I'm all for that, but meaning the empathy piece of it. I also have empathy towards the people asking the questions, where if they don't ask the questions, they get attacked by A, people online saying, oh, Green Bay media never asked the tough questions, or they get just attacked by probably their bosses for not asking the questions that they are required to ask of their job. And it's just like, all of those things are just uncomfortable, awkward. I would prefer just to stay away from all of that, but people have to do their job too, and that's why they get paid to do that. So I don't know. It's not the most fun thing in the world. My biggest thing is, hopefully we're one step closer to putting this behind us all. And hopefully Romeo just goes out and balls out on Sunday. And again, that will be the final nail in this entire story. All right, let's get to our main topic for today. My apologies, we're 12 minutes in before we get to it. I know some people don't like that, but we had a lot to go over today. We had transactions, we had injury reports, we had Romeo Doubs talking to the media. So there was a lot to go over. But let's get to our film room. This was a lot of fun. This is one of my most fun things that I get to do. I didn't get to do it last week because the whole Romeo Doubs situation broke, but just getting to see some of these other teams, how they're operating, some players that stood out, all of those things are really, really fun. So let's get over it. I'm going to go over the Cardinals offense first. Hey everyone, I cannot believe that we are already on to week 6 in the NFL. Thankfully, week 5 went Green Bay's way, but unfortunately, the division stayed strong and Minnesota and Chicago both picked up wins while Detroit had their bye. So needless to say, Green Bay needs to keep winning, but guess what? We all need to keep winning with Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action, and you can join over 10 million users who are already signed up. And when you sign up, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the bonus. It's guaranteed. So make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Josh Jacobs to tear it up against Arizona, and I'm also going to go with Lamar Jackson to have a monster performance against Washington. Whoever you choose, just remember, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Prize Picks, run your game. The number one thing here is the unique challenge of Kyler Murray. He is such a fun player that can beat you in a variety of different ways. The first thing, right, is his, I think you have to start with his mobility and his ability to run at any given moment. Now, we are not just talking scrambles here. He will do read option stuff. They will do a little bit of quarterback power. They will run him from time to time as a true runner in the game. And that is something you have to be cognizant of. The 49ers found that out in the first drive last week when Kyler went for a 50-yard touchdown on a bit of like a read option sort of play. And that is a dynamic piece of his game. And he is fast as hell. He is unbelievably quick. So much so that he beat one guy at the 50-yard line and already put the ball, or it was either a hand up. I think it was his hand up to like, so like, yep, I'm gone. And he was gone. Like, he is that fast. He is that dynamic and just a really fun video game-esque player in that regard. So you want to make sure you stop that. So one, you have to be good against the run. Two, you have to make sure you're setting the edge. And three, when you're, it's a pass play, because he will scramble as well, you want to make sure you're containing him in the pocket, a la what they tried to do with Jalen Hurts. And what they did do with, they did do it both times with Hurts and Anthony Richardson. Hurts just was able to win with his arm. Anthony Richardson was not able to. So keep him in the pocket. I think that's sort of 1A. That's all good and well, save for the fact that Kyler has also shown the ability to just dance in the pocket for 10 seconds at a time. If you're just sort of keeping him in the pocket and not getting anyone there, he'll dance and he'll spin around and he'll look around and he'll complete passes down the field. I posted one on Twitter where he held the ball probably about 8, 9, 10 seconds and just kept scanning and finally found a 20 plus yard completion down the field. Like, he is not super panicked. If you're going to build that, you know, that wall sort of around him, or, you know, try to bubble him in, and his offensive line is protecting and keeping him in that bubble, he'll again bounce around there and find somebody down the field, which makes that part complicated. And then so you get maybe a little bit more over anxious. You start saying, all right, I got to get to this guy. He will take off and scramble and run for 20 yards. There was a first and 20 against Detroit where they slightly lost contain on the left side. He takes off for 22, 23 yards on first and 20 and new set of downs, right? Like, those are the sort of challenges that he will provide to you. And, you know, as a defensive coordinator, you really sort of have to pick your poison. And I will say this, and this is sort of the other interesting dynamic. Kyler Murray will throw the ball up if you get pressure on him. He will take some chances. It does not seem, just by my viewing of it, that he likes to get hit as a quarterback in the pocket. He would rather just get rid of that ball when he starts seeing pressure, and sometimes at the very big detriment of his team, because he will put some balls out there that are able to be picked. Now, he's so good at scrambling, though, that you're apt, or like, you don't really want to put too much pressure on, because if he escapes that, now he's going to take up, take off down the field. Or again, they do have a pretty good offense too, where you can throw it up to Marvin Harrison. Trey McBride is a really good check down option. Like, they have some weapons that Kyler can get the ball out of his hands quick. And then, not to mention on top of that, Kyler Murray also has a really good deep ball down the field as well. And now some receivers, specifically Marvin Harrison Jr., who can pay some of those off. So he's a very challenging quarterback to go against. And when Kyler Murray is on, there are few quarterbacks in the league as good as Kyler. It just, sometimes you get a really good Kyler. Sometimes you don't get as good of a Kyler. And if you do get any of that pressure on him, he is apt to throw up a ball from time to time. And then you have what, in my opinion, is a phenomenal complement to Kyler Murray in James Conner. Now, Kyler Murray is your speed guy. He's your video game character, right? He can do a little bit of everything. But James Conner is the run through your face power running back that, if you put a bunch of speed on the field, if you think like, hey, let's make sure we're in nickel, we've got as much speed as possible, we're going to put Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker out there, let's get Carl Brooks and, you know, Colby Wooden at defensive tackle, a little bit more speed, or let's go with our four defensive end lineup or things like that. It sounds great when you're trying to stop Kyler, but this offensive line and James Conner will run it right at you and right through you. And it may not be 20 yards, 25 yards, 30 yards, etc. It's going to be a lot of 4 yards, 5 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards, 3 yards. Like, it's just positive yards over and over and over, which gets them in those advantageous down and distances. And this is the exact, you know, thing that Green Bay struggles with defensively, is, I've talked about it for years now, not eating their vegetables on early downs to get you in those third and longs to be able to maybe get after the quarterback a little bit more. And the Cardinals are averaging 5.6 yards per carry. It's really good against a Packers run defense that has not been very good. And they have 8 runs of 20 or more yards. So a lot of that is Kyler, but that's a huge piece of their offense as well. Now, I actually watched their offensive line. I didn't think their run blocking was all that great. And now they lost Will Hernandez as well, one of their top offensive linemen. That's going to hurt them. But if you allow them to kind of spread you out and let James Conner get going, or you don't account for Kyler Murray in the run game, they will get those explosive plays. They will find ways to run the ball, and they will nickel and dime you to death, where it's a lot of, again, third and ones, second and fours, those sort of things where the offense is always in advantageous positions. I really believe the Packers defensive line is going to have to step up both in run defense and in pass defense. They're going to have to win their one-on-ones. It's something that they've struggled with. This is a massive game for them. I also think Quay Walker especially, but Edgerrin Cooper as well. This is a game where they have got to be physical enough against the run. They got to find a way. I know they're more not taking on block guys, they're more running around block guys, but they got to find a way to be physical and get James Conner to the ground while also using that great speed of theirs to be sideline to sideline and covering Kyler Murray and chasing him around wherever he wants to go on the field. This is why you have these type of linebackers. Defensive line's got to be stout up front, and these linebackers, Quay, Cooper, they've got to be fast, they got to be instinctive, and they got to go make plays and make tackles. And if they can't do that, if they struggle, it could be a long day, especially trying to stop the run with James Conner. And then that sets up everything else. So big day, in my opinion, for Quay Walker and to maybe a little lesser extent, Edgerrin Cooper, just because we don't know how much Green Bay is going to play him in this game. Although I do think this is a game where you want Edgerrin Cooper on the field a little bit more. Thought the Cardinals worked very well off of play action. I'm very intrigued as to how the Packers defensive backs line up against these Cardinals wide receivers. We'll talk about that one a little bit more on tomorrow's show on the pregame show, but that's a really interesting one to me. Talked about Trey McBride. They can line him up a little bit of everywhere, but they will use him some in the slot. And that's when I talk about, like, hey, you know, this slot position, this slot corner position is no walk in the park. They'll get some Trey McBride in this one. They'll get some Marvin Harrison Jr., who, you know, hit I think it was last week against the 49ers. I watched a bunch of tape of theirs today, so I might get these transposed a little bit. But I think it was against the 49ers last week where he hit a beautiful slot fade to Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, you're going to see some of these guys lined up in the slot, and it's going to be big for whether it's Bullard or Keyshawn Nixon to be able to make some of those plays and make it so that Kyler's not picking on whoever is in the slot. I thought they did a great job of continuing to battle against the tough 49ers team when the 49ers were up. I think it was like 23-10 in that game, and Cardinals just didn't quit. They kept running their offense, and they eventually got the win at the end. Kelvin Beachum, we talked about as questionable in this game. To me, he's the one that you can win against. Now that sets up for Rashawn Gary, right? The left defensive end. Now, there was a statistic posted by PFF. Rashawn Gary, I think it was either the second or third. I think it was the third. The third highest chipped player in the NFL so far this season. So he's been chipped more times than everyone except two players. One of them was TJ Watt. I forget who the other one was, but he's been chipped a ton. I'm sure Arizona's going to do something similar. But again, I think Beachum's the one to win. And if Gary does get those one-on-one matchups with Kelvin Beachum, he's got to win that. And then I think the big question is just, how do you want to make Kyler Murray try to win this game? Do you want to hem him in? I think that's probably the best way, but you are going to need to pick your spots when to bring pressure, because if you can get there and he can't escape, he is one to throw it up. And I do think maybe, just maybe, Xavier McKinney can come up with another one of those interceptions that he is pretty freaking good at, as we have seen as of late, or basically every game as a Green Bay Packer. Defensively, Jonathan Gannon, their head coach, is doing a really, really nice job with this defense. To me, what I would say is they play the right brand of defense. They play defense the right way. It's a bit of a no-name defense. If you go through, like, Zaven Collins is good, Buda Baker's good. I think their rookie that's out for this game, Darius Robinson, I think he's going to be a good player. But this is a bit of a no-name defense. This isn't full of TJ Watts and Nick Bosa's or Fred Warner's or, you know, whatever. Insert your best players in the league here. They've got some solid players, but this is a defense that you can tell plays the right brand of football. They rally to the football. They're physical. They've got eyes on the ball. I saw very, very, very few blown assignments, blown coverages, etc. It was just a really sound brand of football that makes you win. Like, they're not going to screw themselves up. You're going to have to beat them. And I appreciate that. You know, I don't think they have the most talent in the world. I just don't. I think they're probably a couple years and some good draft picks away, maybe a free agent signing or two, from being a really good defense. But I think they are overachieving based on their talent level. And again, I can tell that Jonathan Gannon's got his fingerprints on this, because, you know, you can tell where, like, Matt LaFleur is an offensive head coach, and you can tell, like, a lot of the emphasis is on offense and how good the offense is. You can see the same thing in Arizona. Even though they don't have the talent, maybe, you can tell, again, they're doing a lot of things the right way. They run a little bit of a 3-3-5 at times, and it's more of like that, I think what Green Bay called it, with a penny package, where they're a 3-4 team, right? So you'll see three interior defensive linemen, like it would be in a 3-4. but you'll see then your two outside linebackers, but only one inside backer. So it's almost like a 5-1-5. So they got five guys at the line, one linebacker off, and then five defensive backs, including a nickel, two outside corners, and your two safeties. You'll see that quite a bit from them. They will run some true 3-3-5 as well, just a little bit they ran, where it's just three defensive linemen and then three linebackers. It was more of like, it was more of like a true nickel, but it was like the three interior defenders and then an edge rusher on one side and two off-ball linebackers with a slot corner at the other. So some interesting looks there. And they do get pretty creative with some blitzes and how they kind of bring people. So it's a little bit of a unique defense, nothing too over the top, but that 3-3-5 look is definitely something that, one, I think we'll see against Green Bay, and two, I think Matt LaFleur is not going to mind. I think he's going to find ways to take advantage of that. They do a really good job of taking away initial routes. If you are going to win on those initial routes, you need to win with timing and anticipation, which means Dontayvion Wicks and Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, who's ever out there, needs to be precise on their routes, and Jordan needs to be accurate with his throws. If not, it's going to be a lot of contested stuff. So they do a lot of man or some, you know, zone match stuff where they will get you in those coverages. And if you're not throwing with anticipation and timing, or if you're running the wrong routes, it's going to be a long day. So Green Bay's got to be precise on their rhythm and timing when it comes to the passing offense. Under center, I think, can work very, very well in this game. We'll see if Jordan's mobility will allow a little bit more for the play action, the bootlegs, things like that. And I also think with Arizona going man-to-man at times, it does leave some rushing lanes. So if Jordan Love is feeling like he's got that mobility, I do think there might be a couple opportunities for him to scramble and maybe pick up some first downs when needed in this game. Need to give a shout out to Dennis Gardeck, who I'm just going to be totally transparent, has been off of my radar. I was not familiar with your game, Dennis Gardeck. I was really impressed. And it's funny because I was watching the tape and just I'm like, who is this guy? I'm like, Dennis Gardeck. All right. And I was just tracking him. Like, he looks really good. And then I looked, he had three sacks against the Rams. He had an interception dropping into coverage against Jared Goff. He reminded me a lot of Andrew Van Ginkle, who I've been praising like crazy, who went to Minnesota. Like, he will rush, he will drop into coverage. He's a really unique piece. This is a guy who's 30 years old, who's on like a $3 million deal this year. I was not familiar with Dennis Gardeck's game. He was really impressive on the tape that I watched, and just somebody to kind of keep an eye out for. So I was not coming into this show today, or when I was watching the tape, expecting to talk about Dennis Gardeck. But here we are. He's played some really, really good football. I'm not saying that you need to go into this game accounting for Dennis Gardeck, but he's a really good player. I was super, super impressed. I do think that this has the ability to be a Jordan Love game. Arizona's giving up 72.5% completion percentage and 8.1 yards per attempt. So there's opportunities to win in the passing game. Like I said, got to be on rhythm, on time, accurate with your throws, anticipation, good route running, etc. But there's opportunities to win. I think Green Bay will with this great receiver core. Josh Jacobs, Cardinals are allowing 4.6 yards per carry, so some opportunities for him in the running game as well. Beware of Buda Baker. He is lurking everywhere. He is an intense player, plays the game the right way. He's ball hawking, and if you're Jordan Love, and you're trying to keep, you know, take care of the ball this week and not have one of those big mistakes, be aware of where Buda Baker is at all times. And then while I think this Arizona defense plays all the right way, I've got a couple good playmakers, I do still think they're lacking in talent. And I do think Green Bay's offense is just has a lot more playmakers and, you know, just kind of studs than what Arizona does on defense. And I think that gives Green Bay the leg up in this one. So that is my film review for this game. Lots to go over, a lot of really fun stuff. I'm really excited to watch these two teams play. I think Arizona's a good team. I really do. I think their offense is dynamic, and I think they can beat you in a variety of different ways. And their defense just is a pain. They play the game the right way, and they make you beat them because they're not going to beat themselves. And that always is, you know, makes it in for a long day when you're on offense. So I think Green Bay is going to be able to put up points in this game, but should be a really, really fun matchup. I'm excited. I'm going to be in the crowd in this one, not in the press box. So I'm excited for that. Should be a fun one. That's going to do it for me today, though. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State of Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Ritaka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, and B. Brown. I'll see you guys tomorrow for a pregame show, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.